Today is Sunday, February 16th, 2020, and this...
Interesting side note, in Nevada, ties in the delegate allocation process will be resolved by drawing cards. High card wins. Little too on brand, Vegas. That'll be like Florida deciding its elections by having the candidates wrestle a meth gator.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 726.
Las Vegas, Nevada! Just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
We're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Honey, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting. Out on the streets below.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you today?
I'm unfocused.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll see if we can get you focused by the end of the podcast. Or not.
Do I have to?
No, you just do what you got to do.
Okay.
And if you feel the need to share whatever happens to be going through your mind at the time, I think that'll be fine too.
Okay.
All right, we have a tidy little show this week. We've got one big news item we're going to focus on, and then we're going to do some Dear Tim and Michelle questions that have been sitting in my inbox for... I think one or two of them have been there for like a year and a half. Mm-hmm. We haven't done one of these since June 2019.
What? Wow.
I know. But we'll get all caught up on Dear Tim and Michelle questions today.
Okay. We have all some right. fun ones.
Yeah, we got a couple fun ones. Okay, so before that, we want to thank our listeners who support this podcast on a monthly basis through Patreon. They include Joe Thistle. He's a new Patreon patron. Welcome aboard,
thank
Joe.
You.
DJ Danielson. Tim from Boston, Mike Winkler, Renelle Hampe, and Jody Brooks. Thanks to these.
Thank you.
And all of our Patreon patrons. We do appreciate your support. If you are wondering what this is about, visit patreon.com/500 for details. We throw some bonus stuff your way as our way of saying thank you for supporting the show. And I just ordered the next batch of collectible enamel pins. Hopefully the, whatever the...
Coronavirus?
Big... thing is, yes, hopefully the virus won't affect production and shipping, but I'm hoping to have them out in March. Yeah, I don't anticipate it affecting things on my end. I'm just wondering whether or not you raised the point. I hadn't even thought about that, whether the pins will arrive on time because they're coming from overseas.
Yep.
So we will see. But I think people will like them. It's a, I'm not going to give it away until I will post a picture once they arrive, but it'll be a way for you to express your displeasure with bad gambling odds.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. And then we've got some other stuff too. I've been putting some videos up. One of our listeners requested that I do a video of our podcast setup and kind of a walkthrough of production. So I'm going to do that sometime in the next couple weeks. A little behind the scenes of what our quote studio looks like.
What our living room
what
looks
the,
like.
Yeah. And what the whole setup is. So I'll do
Does
that for anybody.
Does this mean we need to clean?
Who's interested? I might vacuum before I do that. We'll
okay.
see. Because we sit on the floor cross-legged.
We meditate first.
Well, we have the whole process. We do meditation for 20 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do this weird thing where we pass the dog back and forth about a dozen times.
Uh-huh.
Builds a little muscle, gets the vocal cords going because we're usually yelling at him while we're doing it. There's a lot to it. But anyway, I'll go into that in more depth. If that doesn't get more Patreon subscribers, I don't know what does, what will. So anyway, that's going to happen soon and, you know, other stuff. So keep an eye on Patreon. If you are a subscriber, if you want to join, patreon.com/500. We thank all of our current patrons. You are awesome. All right. Big news item this week, did not see this coming, came out of nowhere, and that is that the CEO of MGM Resorts, Jim Murren, announced his resignation. Oh, yes. I was rejoicing. I've been calling for the... this wasn't an ouster necessarily. We don't know what all went into the decision to leave, but I've been hoping for this for years. So I was a happy boy when this was announced. All right, so Jim is probably going to be around for a while because he's hanging out until the board chooses a new soulless drone of a leader from corporate America. I'm assuming they're going to go out and get somebody that is not part of the gaming industry or the Vegas, you know, thing. Ooh. Yeah, it'll be another soulless corporate schmo, most likely. But we'll see. It'll take him a while, so Jim will be around for at least a few more months. And we'll see what damage he can do in that time. So I don't know, you know, whether or not there have been questions like, is it better to have the devil you know versus the devil you don't? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. In theory, they could hire somebody that does, you know, a shittier job at running a hospitality company than True. Jim Murren has. But I don't know. I look at Caesars. Jim Murren is very much kind of a... I'm going to turn that off.
Getting distracted by...
The groove?
Yes, I am.
Jimbo is kind of, you know, he was kind of the MGM version of Gary Loveman, who used to run Caesars Entertainment. Mm-hmm. And when Loveman left, they brought in a guy who, Mark something, I can't even remember his name, and which is better. I'd rather not know who the fucking CEO is, because it means I'm not, like...
It means they're not fucking shit up.
Caesars isn't, you know, they've done plenty of stuff too, but at least once Loveman left, they started maintaining their properties again. They started renovating rooms. They had not done much of that at all under Loveman.
It's kind of like if you know the name of an umpire, yeah, you know they've done something bad.
You know he's a shithead. It's true.
Angel Hernandez.
So, Joe West. So if, we'll see what we get. We don't know, and what kind of difference it makes, if any. You know, they obviously have a plan that they're following right now, and that's Jimbo's plan. So time will tell what changes happen once they get a new CEO on board. Let's see. What else? Is there anything else I want to mention before we look back at the Jim era? He's been CEO for about 13 years. Before that, he was president. So his influence has been felt since the late 90s at the very least. But CEO for about 12 or 13 years, so he's in charge of whatever happens in that time period. So we'll focus on those more recent years in this very special, I think people are going to enjoy this, a very special edition of... Oops.
I don't remember fucking anything, man.
Yep, we're going to look back at the Jim Murren years, and some of the highlights of MGM Resorts under Jim's reign. Are you excited about this?
I'm curious.
Well,
are you going to play a little Sarah McLachlan, or would that be too obvious?
Nothing is too obvious.
I will remember you.
Soak it in.
Will you remember me?
I'd like to dedicate this segment to the MGM Resorts employees. I'm sorry, former employees.
Oh.
Laid off under Jim's watch. This is for you. All right, let's talk about some of the things that happened at MGM Resorts under Jim. Some highlights of his illustrious CEO career. You may remember the resort fee. You remember it because it's still in place at hotels throughout Las Vegas, but MGM was really the early adopter.
Mm-hmm.
MGM set the whole thing in motion and led to a trend that alienated
many Las Vegas visitors.
Many of us for going on more than a decade now. I think 2009 is when they jumped in and really got the ball rolling with resort fees. Thanks a lot, Jim. Resort fees not troubling enough? That's okay. Jim's got you covered. Parking fees came along thanks to Jim. Yeah, that's right. Parking fees existed elsewhere, but on the Strip, free parking. It was one of the things that people loved for a long time about Las Vegas. You could go there if you drove in from California or Arizona.
Rented a car.
Park for free. You could be mobile. You could drive around and park at different casinos without having to worry about fees. Nope, not under Jim. Jim ended that. Thanks, Jim.
I cannot say a word.
What a legacy. What else did Jim do?
Was Jim the guy who said customers were demanding resort fees? Or was,
no,
that was Caesars.
That was Caesars after they backtracked. Oh, what else? Well, MGM Properties became more homogenous under Jim. He, as part of his cost-cutting program, he decided to downgrade the guest experience with inferior in-room toiletries. They used to have some at the upper end.
Yeah.
Hotels, they had nicer stuff.
Oh, Mandalay, the hotel, when it was the hotel.
Oh, yeah.
Delano.
They had really good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Nope, under Jim, it's all going to be the same. We're going to use the same generic soap, shampoo, all that stuff. It's a little thing, but it's something that affects people and their experience.
Yes.
And takes the experience of being in Las Vegas and makes just each hotel just another hotel and not something special.
I used to be pretty bad about hoarding toiletries. I take one or two now to remember my experience. You know,
I take a few of the good ones for fishing trips.
Okay.
I have a little travel size.
Yeah. But you
used to have a massive collection of that shit.
Oh my God.
Finally,
it was
you
bad.
Donated it.
Yeah. But, you know, a month or two after you get back and you just want to relive your vacation.
I know. It's nice to get a little whiff of the clean part of Vegas. Like,
yes.
Right when you get out of the shower and you smell squeaky clean if it's a good product.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a nice little
souvenir.
Nice little thing. The in-room products were just one of many ways that Jim nickel and dimed customers. Yeah. Came up with these plans called PGP and MGM 2020. They were his cost-cutting plans. 2020 remains in effect. And
are they going to name it something else after this year?
I think that plan runs through 2021.
Okay.
I believe.
And then they'll make up a new shitty plan.
Hopefully they'll shit can it and focus on maybe improving the customer experience rather than cutting things from the expenses. It's a shitty way to run a business when your entire focus is on cutting expenses rather than on giving your customers a good experience and increasing revenues.
Yep.
Good job, Jim, you fucker. There's more, don't worry.
Oh, sweet.
There's more on my list. So should I start? I'm not going to start the song over.
Oh, okay. No. I thought you meant there were more songs.
Well...
How do I say
goodbye? You don't have this on here, but can I please mention Jim's plate?
Feel free to mention Jim's plate. It was an employee program.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Vegas Tripping covered it years ago. And it was, Jim trying to force his
employees to
eat like
adhere
him
to a certain diet or whatever. Yeah.
A former MGM employee who is a listener of the show. I know that he posted something a few days ago
about starting a band called Jim's Plate.
Was it a band?
I think so.
I thought it was some sort of a group of group of former MGM employees participating in some event.
Mm-hmm.
And the one name that they had on their list so far was Jim's Plate, and I love that.
Yes.
What kind of ego to name it after yourself? All right, what else did Jim do? Multiple rounds of employee layoffs. And this was not, when the economy tanks, everybody's laying off employees. It's an unfortunate side effect. Mm-hmm. We've seen it before in Las Vegas. No, Jim decided the economy is humming along. Vegas tourism is strong. Let's lay him off anyway. We don't need him. I think under Jim's perfect scenario, my guess is that he would love to have a company without any employees other than him. Better bonus. Doesn't have to pay those pesky employees.
But who's going
to
serve the guests, clean the rooms?
Guests don't matter. Not in Jim's hospitality world.
Max has decided to leave the room now.
He's tired of this already. He's tired of this bit. What else? What else did Jim do? Well, you might remember when I mentioned, you know, that part of the thing that Jim has done is making the hotels less different from each other, making them more similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. He accelerated the de-theming process. MGM used to have some really cool themed hotels, and now, yeah, they're still somewhat themed, but he stripped away a lot of the things that made them unique and special and different from one another.
Can I pour one out for Lancelot of Pasta?
Absolutely. This is the song to pour one out to. Jim, what a legacy. Then, of course, there was the massive development that Jim oversaw, City Center.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that happened. I believe that project almost bankrupted MGM Resorts, if I recall correctly. Jim had a dream of turning Las Vegas into New York City. He wanted it to be a bustling environment with big skyscrapers that look like generic office buildings, and he did that with City Center. Well, not the bustling part necessarily, but he turned it into a generic New York kind of skyline scene. And included in that project were a couple very, very special results.
Mm-hmm.
Need I remind you of a little building called the Harmon? Remember staying at the Harmon? No, you don't, because nobody did. The hotel that was built and never opened, never finished, and then deconstructed, and since then it's just been a cement slab. Thanks, Jim, for the Harmon. Such fond memories. Stay here. I know. There's another little...
Ironically, this song is about birth.
There's another... I know. I'm just going for the theme. There's another... there were other choices, by the way. I skipped Candle in the Wind.
Thank you.
There's another building at City Center you may have heard of called Vidara.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a little problem when they first opened.
Yep.
I'm not saying Jim was the architect who came up with the shape of Vidara, but...
It happened under his watch.
There's a little problem with the design of Vidara in that it charred the poolside guests, a little thing that became known as the Vidara Death Ray. That happened on Jim's watch. What a legacy. Thank you, Jim Murin. So many good times under Jim. How about Jim's proudest feature of City Center?
Oh,
he bragged it up before Aria opened, and everybody wanted to see what all the hubbub was about. And they went in droves with their phones out so they could become the mayor of this particular... So what was that app? People checked in. It's still around in some... Foursquare.
Foursquare. I think it's Swarm now.
Foursquare. So on Foursquare, there was a battle over the mayorship of this little nook
between...
Crystals and Aria. I'm talking, of course, about the Pocket Park. And if you ever visited the Pocket Park thinking, oh, Jim loves Pocket Park, let's see what it's all about, you realize it's pretty much a wide sidewalk with a little pond.
Yep.
There's nothing noteworthy. It's not even a park. It's nothing.
I think there's a sculpture, maybe.
There is. It's a transition between a mall and a casino.
Let's put some flowers and shit here.
Jim's proudest moment is building a fucking pocket park. Mm-hmm. Good job, Jim. What a legacy. Closing time for you. All right, what else?
This is the worst for me.
I have to move on to the next song, even though that one's not over. Do you like my song choice?
Yes.
Pretty proud of what I came up with this morning.
You should be.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the earth. And of course, a very sad thing happened while Jim was CEO. I certainly don't blame him for any security lapses or anything. But
the reaction afterward.
Of course, the October 1st mass shooting on MGM Resorts property was tragic. It was horrible. And how did Jim and his company respond? They sued the victims. Right on, Jim. What a great guy running a great company.
How could you do that?
So take the photographs and still frames in your mind. Hanging on a shelf.
Mind-boggling.
I can't. Tattoos and memories
and dead skin. So yeah, that was bad. There's one more that rivals that. This is just to piss off some listeners.
I don't agree with this, by the way.
Jim is responsible for bringing the WNBA to Las Vegas. What are they called?
The Aces. They have a cool logo.
Oh, yeah, they're the one sports team in Vegas with a good name. And yet, it's the WNBA. They try. Thanks a lot, Jim.
Again, not on board with that last one.
What a legacy Jim Murren is leaving behind. Nobody ran a hospitality business
into the ground
quite like Jim.
I hope you had the time of your life.
Soak it in. Remember, sit in the pocket park next time you're in Las Vegas.
Yes.
Well, you can't sit. There's no place to sit. But walk through the pocket park and dwell on Jim's legacy.
I hope you had the time of your life.
I have chills.
They're multiplying.
So for these highlights and many more, Jim, fuck you. That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so don't worry about Jim. He's going to be just fine. He's getting a $34 million exit package as he walks out the door at MGM Resorts.
Aww.
I'm sure that comforts all of the former employees that he laid off. He'll be mm-hmm. just fine. Don't worry about him. So there you go. I have to give a special thank you to my friend Misnomer because he, I contributed a little bit to it, but he put together a list that ended up not being used for a segment that was contemplated for the summit called Murinating.
Mm-hmm.
It was this whole concept. It was a game show kind of thing about things in Las Vegas that Jim pissed on, essentially. And that list came in very handy. So Thank you to my friend Misnomer for allowing me to use that list to remember some of the fond things. And I didn't even use, there's a bunch of other stuff on there.
Oh, I'm
that's
sure.
That's not a complete list, I should mention, of Jim's work. There were other things, but mm-hmm. I picked out just some of the big highlights. All right. That's the longest Hey Remember This segment we've ever done, too. All right. I need a sip of water. And we're going to get caught up on some emails.
Got a box full of letters. Thinking my right to read. Send your note and desires. Means of contact, P.O. Box 8941, baby. Write you a letter.
All right. We get questions. We like to answer them. We're going to do that for you now. And I should mention, if you'd like to submit your questions for a future episode, a future segment of Dear Tim and Michelle, please send them to 500@gmail.com with the subject line, Dear Tim and Michelle. We'll get to them at some point. We're going to start off with a couple questions from Colby. Colby asks, what iconic Vegas property or attraction that has been imploded, demolished, or otherwise removed from the strip or downtown do you consider to be the city's greatest loss? A fine question, Colby.
You want me to start?
Yeah, if you got one in mind.
My first thought, and I think this is going to be what I'm going to go with, is Stardust.
That was my first inclination as well.
Because Resorts World is coming along, but there has been an empty space, mostly.
Yeah.
Well, except for, Echelon, like the...
And the base of Resorts World, which stood for years, yes. But as far as that land serving any useful purpose...
Right.
And Stardust wasn't like Riviera when it closed. Like, Stardust was still in pretty good shape, as I remember.
Yeah, and the sports book was...
Yeah, they had some good things going on
there.
It was a cool property.
Yeah, weren't they like the ones who set the lines pretty much?
Yeah. So you think about, they were one of the early ones. So you think about, they were one of the first you know, big sports books. But yes, mm-hmm. when you think about the north end of the strip properties,
yep.
you look at Riviera, that was run down and had been neglected. Mm-hmm. New Frontier was a shithole.
Yeah.
I mean, we had fun at these places. Westward Ho was pretty dumpy. But Stardust still had something special going on. Mm-hmm. So I agree. That one, that was a really sad loss of all of
I think
all
if
those.
They had kept that and renovated it, turned it around.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't in bad shape, but right. it could have used some new restaurants and
yeah. So yeah, I think that would be my answer on that too. I'm going to agree with you on that.
Yeah, and contributing to the whole decline of the North Strip.
Yep. But
yeah.
Very much. Good answer. All right. Thanks for the question, Colby. Another
my
one.
My second choice was Westward Ho, by the way.
Was it? Very nice.
just because it's Westward Ho.
You know, I always had a soft spot for Desert Inn, which was in...
Yeah.
No, that was still in... They had done some renovations. That was in pretty good shape, but for whatever reason, people refer to it as Deserted Inn. It was
really nice.
It was nice.
It was very clean. They kept it up. It just felt like there was something about it that just felt very nice.
First place I ever played blackjack. I think that might have been the first Vegas showroom we ever saw a show
yeah.
in. It was a cool space, but for whatever reason, it wasn't great, you know, for mm-hmm. necessarily business-wise. And then Steve Wynn had bigger plans for it. So at least it was replaced by some nice properties.
Right.
So, all right. Second question from Colby. How do you approach a typical day in Vegas? We hear on your show about bar dining and gambling reviews. Do you go into the trip with plans to visit X places on certain days? Do you wake up and map out a day over breakfast? Do you just start walking and go where the Vegas spirit takes you? What is our approach?
Well,
we're not super planny.
We make a list of stuff we want to do.
Yes.
And then we might have something that is scheduled, like a dinner or sometimes a show or whatever. Yep. So that'll be part of the day, but
we don't map things out really that much day by day. We'll try to cluster things together a little bit. If we have four or five things on the list that we're kind of thinking, oh, this would be good to review for the show, or mm-hmm. this would be something we'd want to do, and there's other things around it,
yeah.
then we'll try to get those in at the same time. Or we'll plan, on this last trip, we wanted to go to House of Gaga again
yeah.
at Park mm-hmm. because they've brought in some new stuff, and we wanted to see what they changed.
Yep.
And then
we also wanted to try Crack Shack.
There you go. So we were in the same area. We paired those together, but I don't think we necessarily planned which day we were going to do that.
Right. Yeah. We wake up. Okay. What do you want to do for breakfast? And it's usually something close by.
Yeah.
And
we have a few things like
yeah.
typically, unless it's a concert we really want to see, we don't make plans for the first night.
Mm, yeah.
Typically because the first travel day is exhausting mm-hmm. and we're not necessarily going to stay out real late a lot of times. But also that first day, like, I just want to gamble my ass off usually. You know, we kind of want to get that whole Vegas vibe and mm-hmm. don't want to have something specific planned.
Yeah.
And then the last night in Vegas, we usually don't, like, we don't go to that many shows anyway, but we rarely would go to a show on that last night either. We try to get mm-hmm. those in the middle.
Yeah.
Just because the last night you're like, okay, it's kind of like the first. This is my last chance to experience all this stuff.
Yep.
I want to pack in all the fun and then that's it. Mm-hmm. So, but as far as things during the day, yeah, it just varies. We don't plan things out other than bulleted list. And sometimes we'll prioritize them a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there are certain things. If you're going to, like, Mayfair or something, you want to have a reservation. Or if you're going mm-hmm. to a certain show, you're going to have tickets. So those you're going to schedule in. But otherwise, we keep it pretty loose.
Yep.
So there you go. And a lot of times, there's stuff we plan on doing that we never get to. Last time out, we were going to go to the Banksy exhibit at Fashion Show Mall.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of decided, yeah, I don't think that's going to fit in.
Yeah.
Now, if we had gone, there were some other things on the north end of the strip
yep.
we would have paired up with it, but we ended up not doing those. So that is how we approach our day. Also, some of it depends on like winning and losing,
mm-hmm.
how much you
imbibed the night before.
A little of that. I mean, there are some days where I just want to gamble. So.
Mm-hmm.
All those things factor in that. How do I feel when I get up and how do I feel as the day goes on? Now, if you're having a shitty day gambling, then, okay, let me look at the list
mm-hmm.
and see what else I have.
Yeah.
I try to make a list of videos that I ideally would shoot for for Patreon. Mm-hmm. And if I'm getting killed, I'm like, okay, I'm going to take a break and spend some time doing some, let's say, work. and that's a good strategy too. So there you go. Good questions, Colby. Thank you. Mm-hmm. We have a few questions from Pete from Essex. He says, I've seen some recent Vegas vlogs. I still hate the word vlog. On slot machine group pulls. Is this something you've ever done or would consider doing?
I am in no way interested in participating in group pulls of any kind.
Slot or otherwise?
Slot or otherwise.
All right.
Hey, yeah. Now a good time to talk about the snake orgy.
Sure. Fire up your thoughts on the snake orgy.
Well, you shared with me a story you saw on CNN that there's an annual snake orgy in Florida where, what is it, Florida water snakes gather in this park and go to town. And
the best part of it is they put up caution tape around it to raise awareness among the public.
What? Snake orgy happening here. What I would expect, like,
they put up caution tape so that people don't wander in and get, you know, they're not disturbed or suddenly find themselves part of the snake orgy. No, this is to raise awareness of the snake orgy. Thank you, Florida. You're a gift.
Oh, and then the related article.
Yeah, what was that? Something about turtle?
It was a turtle named Paul Revere who was...
It wasn't really named Paul Revere, was it?
Who was responsible for restoring his breed on the Galapagos Islands because he liked to bang it out.
Way to go, turtle. You never know what you're going to hear on this. Mm-hmm. So anyway, slot pulls of a different nature. Let's talk about that. Group pulls. I'm aware of these. I don't watch those. I know there's a ton of those gambling blogs and people love them. It's not really.
I am the worst about consuming other Vegas things. I don't know why.
For some reason, I've never been hooked by the vlog thing. And I don't like watching other people gambling.
I know a few people who are listeners who have them and are very good at them.
I don't like watching other people gamble. I never have. Yeah. And it annoys me when people stand behind me and watch me gamble.
Oh, God, that drives me nuts.
I know. I'll stop playing till they walk away. I just
I know you want to see the bonus, but I'm not going to get it because you're standing over there.
It's usually cheap old guys. It's cheap old guys
that
do that. They're wandering around the casino, and that's their entertainment, is to watch other people. It's weird. Hmm. Not entirely.
I used to watch you when I felt uncomfortable with my gambling budget that day.
That's different.
You wanted to keep going, and I'm like, all right, I will just sit here. That's fine.
But if somebody
sip on a beverage,
if somebody I didn't know, sat down and just started watching me play, I'd be like, nah, I'd get up and move or just stop playing or whatever.
Yeah.
But as far as group slot pulls, now I have no interest. You know what? I had a coworker who, this is not a group slot pull thing, but kind of a similar scenario. I had a coworker years ago. And before every trip, he wanted to give me money. And I don't get this thing either, giving somebody else money to play on a slot machine on your behalf.
No.
I would never do it because I'm like, that's all I need is to have this guy's $20 in my pocket on the off chance I hit a big jackpot.
Exactly.
So it's kind of a similar scenario. Like, even if you're there with a group of people and you're doing the thing, I'm like, there's going to be a dispute at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's like going to disagree with, okay, do we cash out at a certain point? Do we put the winnings back in? You have to agree on all that shit ahead of time.
Yeah. I mean, there are certain groups it works for. Like, what is slot golf again?
Fuck, I don't know.
Okay. Because I know
That's not a group thing, though.
Oh.
That's like a competition. You've got a couple people and you agree you're each going to put in 20 bucks at X number of casinos and see how you end up with at the end. That kind of thing.
Okay.
But a group pull, usually the idea is to do a high limit pull.
Oh.
So, in fact, I've...
Oh, so you pool your money and then do... Okay.
And then you split the results.
Oh, kind of... Okay.
Now, some people will do this, like, with a group online, and there's some illegal aspects of that in terms of, like, the Wire Act.
Mm.
It could be. I don't know. Yeah. But if you're going to do it with a group of strangers, I think if you're getting into big money... You might need to have a contract and all kind. I don't.
There's too much liability there.
It's a bunch of I don't want to mess with anybody else's money.
And also, there's too much sociability there.
Yeah.
If I'm gonna gamble with a group of people, we're just gonna use our own money in our own machines.
I've said it before. Gambling and Vegas to me are fun on their own.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to come up with gimmicks to make them fun. And I get the idea of doing a high limit slot room pull that you wouldn't otherwise do because you pool money and you have a bigger budget. But,
yeah.
Eh. If you go in the Cosmos slot, high limit slot room, sometimes I play video poker.
Yeah.
They have a row of Wheel of Fortune machines right by the entrance, and there's like a $5, a $10, a $20, and a $100.
Yeah.
The traffic on those things is nuts. And a lot of times you see people wheeling their suitcases in. It's like their last thing they do before they leave. Or you see people coming in and doing the group thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's they must take a shit ton of money out of those machines just based on that. It's more so than anything else in that room. Those mm-hmm. machines get constant traffic. It's nutty. So anyway, no, group pool's not for me. But if it makes your Vegas trip happier, go nuts. What the hell? All right, from a recent show, I'm interested to know if you did look through your past trips to see if you have been to Vegas in every month of the year. We have.
We have.
Yes, after that was a month or two ago we discussed mm-hmm. that. Yes, we realized we have been in every month, so.
It might not be a trip where we spent the whole trip in that month.
But there
it
are overlap
like
trips
overlapping
sometimes.
Like November, December.
What an achievement.
Yeah.
And finally, I don't know what to make of this question. I don't know. I don't know if he's joking. This past year, I took up sea shanty singing. Is that really a thing?
I'm sure it is.
I was wondering if Vegas has a sea shanty convention / weekend, possibly a folk weekend or week. Surely Treasure Island would be perfect to host this. Arr, me hearties.
It is probably scheduled around Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Yarg. Talking like a pirate is fun. The sea shanty singing, that's unusual to me.
But
whatever turns you on, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Still not as dumb of a hobby as what is it? Fucking frisbee thing?
Ultimate
frisbee. I never miss an opportunity to shit on ultimate frisbee. All right. I like that I'm alienating the WNBA crowd and the ultimate frisbee crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Of which there might be crossover. I don't know. All right. Thanks for the questions, Pete from Essex. We do appreciate them. And we have a question from Jim and Jan. This one just came in a couple weeks ago. Finally got my first hand pay last year and would like to reduce my tax liability. I've printed my win-loss statements, but noticed that some say not for tax purposes. How do you guys handle this?
Well, I'll let you answer because...
Well, there's a couple things to know. So since the tax changes last year, if you... don't item a lot fewer people itemize because of the standard deduction is higher. If you take the standard deduction, then it doesn't matter. You're not going to be able to deduct.
Right.
Now, if you have other stuff going on and you still deduct, like we do because we have a lot of business expenses and I'm a freelancer, so everything is an expense and all that stuff, then the IRS expects you to keep they're very specific about it. You can find the details on the IRS website. Essentially, I think they call it a journal or a diary
mm-hmm.
where you include what you played, what time, what casino, the machine number, and your wins and losses based on that. So if you get audited, that's what they want to see.
Oh my God.
So that's how it works. So you can carry
the reason
a little,
I laugh is who does that?
A lot of people do that. I do that. You yeah. carry a carry you,
the mach-
carry a little
yeah
note,
that's car- right
carry a little notebook or I think you can do it on your phone. There are probably apps for it. I wouldn't be surprised, but so that's how you do it.
I remember you used to scribble in your little notebook.
I used to have a little notebook. Now I take notes on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, it was like a little one of those little spiral
yep
tiny things. Yep, I think I do have all those in my. There's a box downstairs with a bunch of old stuff. I'm like, I don't know. Is it 7 years? Is it? So I still probably have some from like the late 90s. So anyway, that's how you do it. But like I said, if you're taking the standard deduction, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
One of the unfortunate parts of the tax changes for a lot of people. So there you go. One other question, and this is from Billy. What is the craziest thing you've experienced on the plane to Vegas? Have we experienced anything crazy on the plane to Vegas?
No.
I had the thing on the way home.
Yeah, that was my first thought with the guy being all...
super drunk guy sitting next to me who wouldn't... We're on the runway and he refused to...
And this was just you. This was not...
Yeah, it must have been a guy trip or something. Mm-hmm. He refused to...
To turn off his phone.
Turn off his phone. He kept... I don't remember if it was just texting. I think he was actually making calls. And we ended up having to go back to the gate
because of him.
He
got ejected.
He's the one who was trying to make small talk with me and said, so what do you do, glue sales?
Mm-hmm.
Which is one of the weirder questions I've ever been posed. But as far as to Vegas, I can't think of anything especially unusual.
No.
People are pretty much just jazzed and happy.
Yeah,
people
are in a good mood, ready to go.
It doesn't happen as often as it used to, but people used to clap upon landing.
Yes.
There was some gambling on the plane.
In the early days, I think we were taking, like, was it a
charter? I think it was a charter, yeah.
Where they gathered dollar bills from everybody and then
you wrote your name. You wrote your name on the dollar bill. And then they drew one out and everybody got, that person got the pot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they did stuff like that. They used to sell show and tour packages on those charters too. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
They'd be pitching stuff. It wasn't like timeshare-y. It wasn't that big of an annoyance.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, they would sell trip upgrades on the flight, which was a little different.
I'm surprised that I still hear the sound of cards being shuffled. Like people still play
that
cards.
That fucking sound aggravates me to no end.
Yeah.
I hate the sound of... If you're playing in Vegas and they use shufflers for most stuff, but
yeah.
Then it's fine. But the loud shuffling of people playing cards, I was in a hospital waiting room not long ago.
Oh,
somebody was having a procedure and I was there keeping someone company. And there were people there playing cards, loudest fucking shuffle every 45 seconds. I wanted to take the cards and just scatter them throughout the room. Drives me nuts. I don't know what it is about that sound.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, ugh.
Yeah.
I've never been a casual card player. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not, you know how, like, sometimes at family gatherings, people, I don't enjoy that. I don't, mm-hmm. It's never been something I'm drawn to. I don't know why.
My family used to play hearts when I was growing up.
I don't know. It doesn't entertain me, and it seems like such a pointless activity.
Huh.
Unless you're gambling. Then it's different. So if you're playing poker or something, cool. But
yeah, there was somebody at the gate at when we were waiting to go home, and they were like shaking a container of dice.
Really?
And I just wanted
to
clock
catch that.
Yeah.
I missed that entirely. That's why I'm happy that my hearing I'm losing my hearing.
That's why I kept getting up to do stuff. I'm just like I'm not.
Was that the last trip?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that at all.
Yeah.
Well, fun. So there you go. I have nothing.
Nothing on
super
the plane
crazy.
Too. Yeah, which is good.
I know. If somebody does something that's going to delay the flight at all on the way there, I would be pissed.
Same.
If there was an emergency landing for something other than a health reason.
Right. Right. Health. That's like.
Right.
You gotta have sympathy for that, but. Yeah, but someone
doing
just
something
being
stupid.
A dick.
No, not cool. Yeah. All right. Thank you all for the questions. We do appreciate it. And as I mentioned, 500@gmail.com is the address. If you'd like to send in some Dear Tim and Michelle questions, we'd love to get them. Would love to answer them. And we thank you for submitting them. All right. Before we go, we have some karma donations this week. Leslie Ann and Tony from the UK with a karma donation for their 12th visit, which is happening as we speak.
Yay.
And it's just as exciting as the first for them. That's how it should be, right? You still get that. I don't know if... I mean, we were getting married for our first, so nothing mm-hmm. as exciting as the first, of course, but...
it was all just new and different. The first one was just, like, we didn't know what to expect.
Yeah. I would say my anticipation level was probably at its height for, like, trips, you know, like, 3 through 20, and now it's still
now,
there. It's different.
I look forward to it, but it's not like...
Yeah.
Ah!
Although, you know what? When we land...
Mm-hmm.
When we're in the airport, I'm still moving at a fast pace. My heart is beating.
Yeah.
I still get that jolt when we mm-hmm. land and just that urgency.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the spark is still there between me and Las Vegas.
Oh, how about between us?
That's still there too.
Okay.
Good. I feel that way every morning when you wake up.
Uh-huh.
All right, Mike with a karma donation for a quick 3-night trip happening very soon, later this month. Staying at Caesar's Palace, going to the Tyson Fury Deontay Wilder fight. I had to look this up to see if it was UFC or boxing. It is boxing. If you have a name,
Tyson
like,
Fury was at the Knights game.
If you have a name like Tyson Fury, you have to be a fighter, don't you?
Yeah.
That's a badass name. That's Saturday night. NASCAR race on Sunday. Hoping for some gambling luck in between. Awesome. Have a great trip. Sounds like it's action-packed. You're going to have a ton of fun. I hope that it's just incredible.
Yes.
Have a great time.
Enjoy.
And finally, Roger with an upcoming solo trip that starts today. I was going to say tomorrow. It's today. So thanks for the great podcast. Well, you're welcome. Hope you have a great time. Thank you all. We appreciate your support.
Yes.
So there you go. That concludes our tribute to Jim Murren podcast. Mm-hmm. How do you feel? I didn't see you shedding any tears. A little surprised by that, despite the music, the emotional music. All right. 500bymidnight.com is our website. 500@gmail.com is the email address. You can find us on Twitter. I am 500. She is Anita Martini. And of course, we have a voicemail line. We'd love to hear from you. 702-866-9494 is the place to call with your thoughts, observations, reviews, and Vegas experiences. We'll use them on an upcoming show. As always, thank you for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it, and we will be back very soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.